Amen.
Praise the Lord and be seated. Thank you so much. Well, good morning. Oh, blessings to you all, and peace be multiplied. And on behalf of Pastor J.D. Farag, we want to welcome you here to Calvary Chapel Kaneohe, a Sunday morning service. We're thankful that you're here and online joining us. Welcome. We also like to welcome any visitors. We're glad to have you here as well. And we're going to love on you and pray that you will receive the love that we have to give and that you are blessed and truly loved on. So when you go and leave here, you'll leave here differently, knowing that the Lord's people indeed met you here. I do want to remind everyone about our next prayer meeting that will be held on the 9th of January here in the sanctuary beginning at 7 p.m. And I would encourage all who are able to come out and join us in that corporate prayer because we need to pray. I want to thank all of you for the prayers that you have been so faithful in sending up to the Lord on behalf of the various missions that we have, as well as Maui and our dear pastor and his family, especially Kelly in this season, dealing with and battling cancer. I encourage you also to continue to pray for one another. Do not cease to pray because we all need it. Doubtless, you've heard what has taken place here on the island, and I would ask that you specifically lift up prayers for the families of Jason and Teresa Cachuela. Just pray. As often as the Lord leads you to, especially for those children. On Sundays, we have two services. The first service is normally dedicated to the prophecy update and the second service to the sermon. But for today, we will be conducting two topical teachings. And for this first teaching this morning, I would ask that you join me in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, beginning in verse 10. And I will also ask all who are able to stand to do so for the reading of the scriptures this morning, followed by a word of prayer. The book of Isaiah, chapter 7, and verse 10. The word of God reads, "Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said," speaking of Isaiah, "hear now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also?" And verse 14, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Why don't we pray and ask for the Lord's blessing on the teaching this morning. Father in heaven, we bow our hearts to you, asking that you would come now and bless us with your divine word by the power of your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes spiritually to your word, our ears spiritually, Lord, and our hearts, so that we can hear what you have to say to us, your people. We thank you for what you're going to do today with the time you have given to us that we freely give back to you. So Lord, speak. We are ready and we are willing. In the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen. Please be seated and thank you. This morning, Our first teaching is titled, A Virgin Birth, Really? As in, do you really believe this? Because the concept of a virgin birth from the world's perspective is ridiculous. And sadly, many professing Christians do not believe in this miraculous event as told in the scriptures. They also make the statement, a virgin birth, really? And the questions that follow kind of sound like this. How can anyone believe in such a fairy tale? Or people who believe in a virgin birth, they're stupid. What about this whole thing? It's all made up. How is it that these Christians do not see this? They will say things like, it's just a copy from pagan stories, such as Osiris and Isis, or the myths of Mithras. These are just copies of the writings of Plutarch regarding Alexander the Great, or the Roman writer Suetonius in regards to Augustus. And anyone who would believe in some virgin birth would believe in anything. Allow me to address these claims that these pagan stories and myths from the former world as we know it somehow parallel this miraculous birth of Jesus. First of all, they don't even come close. And do not allow people to tell you they do. They do not. When you look at the entire counsel of God's word, and then you pull some of these garbage stories, nothing comes close. And you know that this is where I have a problem. And God's working on me, right? You know that, right? Because that's my trigger. The chink in my armor. When people want to say, it's just like, because then I snap. In the name of Jesus. And these questions and statements go on and on as they criticize the greatest birth in the history of mankind. But do you know what's the question that rarely gets asked is? The question of why do you believe in a virgin birth? I mean, there has to be a reason one would think. Now, some would argue that many people believe it just because they were told about it and perhaps raised in this religious system, so to speak. And you know, that might be true. And that's kind of sad if that's the sole reason they believe. But did you ask anyway? Did you? Because like Santa Claus, I was told as a child that Santa Claus was real. But as I grew up, I found out that he was not. And I probably jacked up some children today. Parents, I leave that to you to explain it. It is what it is. I was also told as a child that God was real. And as I grew up, I was told that God had given us his word. And in his word, I would read things that I did not want to believe. But the more that I read, the more I recognized that it was true. And like many of us, I first would start off by considering and ask questions like, Did this really happen the way that it says it happened and try to reason with my mind? Bad idea. So as I became this late bloomer, so to speak, well into my 30s, not only did I come to understand how amazing the Bible was, but how real my Jesus is. Also, we come to find out that everything that the Bible speaks about is as real as it gets. This is reality. These are not fabricated stories for entertainment purposes. These are historical events ordained by God. And that includes this most amazing birth of the Savior of the world that so many people laugh at and mock. And please, we should not be offended at this laughing and mocking or take it personally. I know we do, and I understand why we do, but don't take it personally, because they are not mocking us. They are mocking God. The birth of Jesus changed the entire world and continues to do so despite this constant mocking and the false claims that always rail against it. Now, let's get this out of the way. Most of us, if not all of us, know that Christmas is rooted in paganism. We know this. But truth be told, the miraculous birth of Jesus invaded many of these pagan practices. Have you thought about it that way? And you can trace all of these pagan practices all the way back to the Tower of Babel and Nimrod. And what went on? They were all an abomination. We know this from sexual immorality all the way to child sacrifice. In ancient times, we know that the false god Molech was used, where children were sacrificed. And these pagan practices continued with the Yule log, where children were sacrificed on. And that's in one of those Christmas carols. Yuletide carols being sung by the choir. That Yuletide? That Yule is what they're talking about. And the list of symbols and acts go on and on. So now here comes the Romans that would adopt this season to suggest that Christ was born. And what would happen is that this winter solstice, as it's called, was turned upside down, just like the entire world, because of Jesus. So, while many may not celebrate Christmas due to these facts, and the world shifts away and adopts a more friendly term like Happy Holidays, one thing is for certain: the light of this virgin birth will always overshadow whatever stands to refute it or minimize it, no matter the season, because the word of God shall never fail. All of that to say this: Merry Christmas. You feeling me? Don't be ashamed to say it if you choose, because we are under the law of love. And that's what the birth of Jesus is all about: the love of God. And we don't have to wait until this time of year to speak about this virgin birth either. No. And if you choose to celebrate it, be convinced in your own mind, in faith. And hear this, captured in the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 22. The word of God reads, "Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves." Now, this is not a license to sin, but it is a license to the liberty that we all have in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord for that. That's why we can say Merry Christmas. You have faith, have it to God and yourself. Now, we had to get all of that out of the way. In order to get back to our text this morning, to answer the question that is rarely asked regarding the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And as the Lord leads and sees fit, we're going to do that. First, we're going to expound on our text that will eventually lead to us seeing why that question is rarely asked. And then we're going to examine the prophecy of the virgin birth, show a few facts surrounding the virgin birth, discuss some reasons for a virgin birth, and from all of that, show why we believe that the virgin birth really happened. So, verses 10 through 12 of our text, as the word of God reads, "Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord." Now, this may seem like an awkward place to start and stop when dealing with the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. But I believe that once we have looked into this account that we're going to see, it's not a bad place, especially when answering the question of why skeptics don't often ask the question why. Here we have this king of Judah named Ahaz. And from the scriptures, we know that this was an ungodly king. And he would begin his reign at the tender age of 20 and reign for 16 years. And this ungodly king promoted the worship of that one Moloch. He made images of Baal. He would offer human sacrifices in the valley of Hinnom. And he would sacrifice on the high places, including his own son. And in this account, through the prophet Isaiah, notice that the Lord is speaking to Ahaz. Do we see this? God has taken a personal interest in addressing Ahaz. And this is not the first time. We see that based on the word of God saying that the Lord spoke again. Again spoke to Ahaz. And we know from earlier in this chapter that this is a continuation of the Lord speaking to Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah. And I pray in this, we will see the love of God. Why do I say that? Because as ungodly as this king was, God was going to the extreme lengths to get his attention. Do we see this? So much so that in verse 11, he would tell Ahaz to ask for any sign, no matter what that was. Ask yourself, you, not for anyone else. No one's going to influence Ahaz to see a sign. No, you yourself ask any sign, and I'm going to perform it for you. So when God would perform it, you would believe that all the words my prophet is saying are true and they are of the Lord. You would have no questions. Here, God is about to prove himself miraculously. Just ask. Sit back and watch. But what was Ahaz's first response? He says, I will not ask. And there you have it. Are we tracking? I will not ask. But there's proof for you, Ahaz. All you have to do is ask. I'm going to show you a sign just for you. I will not ask. And why does he have this unwillingness to ask? Because Ahaz does not really want to know. That's why. Oh, he tries to cover it up by saying, nor will I test the Lord. Doesn't it sound kind of godly, right? Quoting from Deuteronomy, thou shalt not tempt or test the Lord thy God. I will not test the Lord. But the problem here is that when God tells you to do something, not doing it is testing the Lord. That's the issue. And this is not about testing God himself. This is about not being willing to test the word of God for yourself. Total difference. And I'm sure that you see where I'm headed with all this, as we circle back and tie it all in regarding why most people today won't ask why. The answer is simple. Just like Ahaz, they do not want to know. This world is full of Ahazes. That could have went wrong.
Praise God, it did.
Oh, Lord. Woo-hoo! And I'm a sailor too. Woo! Oh, you guys have some weird minds. Oh. Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm trying to get back on track. I mean, we can't forget too that we were Ahazes. It's going to mess everything up for now. Let me just change it. Like, we were like this king. We were ungodly. Many of us, lovers of Molech, right? Taking our children to the abortion clinic. Many of us. Going up to high places, the devil sacrificing everything on the altar of this world. And when the Lord presented an opportunity for us to test the truth of his word, we often decline the offer. I don't want to know. And that's what happens today. It continues. The world refuses to ask the relevant questions. They refuse to acknowledge the relevant answers. And they refuse to even test the word of God, even though the word of God has been tested and proven. Captured in the book of 2 Samuel in chapter 22, verses 31 through 32, the word of God reads, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? And I submit to you that most of the people of the world today have never even read the proven word of God for themselves. Why is that? Sadly, many Christians have not read the word of God for themselves. Why is that? This should not be the case. We should all be reading the proven word of God. So when the opportunity comes, we can provide the relevant questions to the world. And by the word of God, allow it to prove itself, including this virgin birth. The signs have been given, and signs continue to happen today as we speak, and they are all captured within the scriptures. The question is, can we point the people of this world to it? Or at least point them to someone who could render a reason from the Word of God? His way is perfect. His word is proven. And this birth of the Savior happened, just like it said. Now, as we circle back to our text, the prophet Isaiah is going to give a response. First, a personal reply of sorts, and then a prophetic reply by the Spirit of God. And in the end, it will be a word that only the true and living God could ever perform. Again, the Word of God reads in verses 13 and 14 of our text. Then he said, "Hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." When the prophet Isaiah says, "Hear now, O house of David," a couple of things. For one, he is calling attention to the entire dynasty regarding the bloodline associated with the royal right of kingship. Comes through the house of David. And by making note of David to King Ahaz, it also shows a stark contrast in the faith that David had in regards to the Word of God and that lack of faith that Ahaz had in the Word of God. Ahaz not only had a lack of faith, he did not want to believe. And Isaiah made this clear by letting Ahaz know that he has not just tried man. Speaking of Isaiah, but you're going to worry my God too? For me, I'm tired of you, but God, now he's tired. And mind you, God is long-suffering. And this Ahaz was not even 30 years old at this point when this took place. And he has already wearied God. Think about that. Isaiah says, "Hear my God." You notice that? Earlier, "Test your Lord." Now, "He's my God." See the difference? Because you don't want to believe in him at all. Nor do you truly seek him out. Because if you did, he would be revealed to you in that way you need, so you would know. Not a way you demand. Because if you demanded to know God your way, you would have another demand once that way was fulfilled. And even though Ahaz refused to see a sign from God, notice God himself is going to give a sign anyway. And when the Word of God says, "We'll give you a sign," the word "you" here is in the form of the plural. It's speaking about the entire house of David. Are you tracking? "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And although this prophecy was given over 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus Christ, believe it or not, Ahaz will still see the fulfillment of this prophecy in this way. At the great white throne judgment, when he kneels before Emmanuel. Have you thought about that? And here is where we begin to answer the question of why we really believe any virgin birth. And one of the reasons is because the whole of redemption of humanity rests on this promise from the beginning. And we know this from the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, in chapter 3 and verse 15, as the word of God reads, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So we read, after the fall of man, the revealing of the plan that God had already had to redeem us was set in motion. By the foretelling of the seed of the woman. And we've talked about this before. A woman defined by God and created by God. Let me get that out the way. Does not have a seed. We agree? The seed being expressed here is the seed of the holy conception that will take place at the appointed time. And within the holy conception, no agency of man brought this about. Being conceived in a holy manner removes Jesus from the contaminated, sinful bloodline of Adam, because there was no need for the seed of man. Nor was there any contamination from Mary, because the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And there is no biological explanation for the holy conception. And that's the point of it all. Again, this was given as a sign that would lead to the given son from God, which begs the question, what other sign do you need? This defies the naturalistic and materialistic worldview that the world has today. And if you think that this is a miracle, what about the miracle that much of the world today believes in? That something such as the entire universe came from nothing without God. Just came from nothing. You believe that? See, you believe that nothing existed, which is nothing, that can't exist. But it made something. Ain't gonna call me crazy. But here, God foretells. God does this. And he does it for us. It served as a sign. This holy conception brought about the Son of Man in a way that would give us a kinsman redeemer. One of flesh. That's significant. Kinsman. Born of a woman and the flesh of his own creation. Regarding this, one writer would say these words: while the virgin birth was not necessary for God, in that God could have united the natures in another way, yet it is a most appropriate as a sign of the union of human and divine natures in the person of Christ. Here is something that makes the God-man make sense. Are you tracking? The way it was done is reasonable to us. Do we see what God did? This birth was a vessel that God would use, that should have gotten as well as continue to get everyone's attention. It really should. And I believe that it does, whether people believe it or not. But regarding this verse, it's so important that we understand the seed of the woman. So let's go from here all the way to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Again, some 700 years after this prophecy was proclaimed by Isaiah. Book of Matthew, chapter 1, not the book of Matthew. Like we were in last week. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. The word of God reads, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." By the way, conception is life. Are you following me? Conceived. Verse 21, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they should call his name Emmanuel, which is translated or being interpreted as God with us." So here we have a member of the house of David, speaking of Joseph, which was another requirement regarding the birth of Jesus. It had to be of the royal bloodline of King David. And this is what the prophet Jeremiah spoke about, captured in chapter 23 and verse 5, as the word of God reads. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth." In the earth. Do you hear that? The entire earth. And that king is the King of Kings, who is Jesus. But people who hate God are haters of righteousness. And we all know that the world as it is nowhere close to being righteous. And because they love to live in unrighteousness, like many of us did, there is no interest in the truth. No. All of the evidence in the world will not mean a thing to someone who is just completely given over to this world. So there's no need to get into all of the prophecies about Jesus and the birth. No need. But there are some who are curious and they just don't know. Oh my goodness, your life is about to change. Because with curiosity and a gentle nudge by the Holy Spirit, they're going to seek God. And God's going to honor it. And they will find the Lord and salvation. Now, back to Joseph. What was being told by the angel of the Lord to Joseph here in verses 20 through 23 was what the word of the Lord had been prophesied about centuries earlier, capturing the specific details of information that we all have the privilege of examining in full. We have it all. And I say that because Joseph did not. He didn't have that vantage point that we have today. Now, he had to go through it. Now, he may have known of the virgin birth, but he had to actually go through it. Have faith in it. And he had no idea what he would go through at the time. So he had to make the choice to respond to what he had heard or not. And for us, in fact, most of the entire West, we have the entire counsel of God's word. More than enough information to do our own investigation. Yet many make the choice not to even hear it at all. You know what's sad? Because when you say, I don't want to hear it, what does that mean? Think about when someone wants to bring you truth and you're like, I don't want to hear that. You indict yourself. That's what you do. Because in your heart, you know it's true. But if we choose to listen, we will find for ourselves that the continuity within the Word of God is so divine. It's all divine. All you have to do is seek it out yourself. So the question is, do you? Have you taken the time to investigate it yourself? Or do you rely on the National Geographic Channel? Or the Gospel of Judas? There is no Gospel of Judas. Well, not according to the National Geographic Channel. Or listen to the questions that pop up on your feed from CNN. Here's a religious question for you. Have you ever done that? Those questions have nothing to do with the scriptures. Who was Saint Martel in the Bible? What? Or people love to listen to Richard Dawkins and all of those guys who have, some of them have been to seminary, by the way. That's why they know the scriptures. Do you know there's atheists that teach in seminary? Do you hear me? There are atheist theologians. Do you put? Unbelievable. Or worse, do you view God as incapable of doing this miraculous birth? Because if you do, then you won't believe. Because what you have done is created your own God in your mind that you can always refute. But I would tell you, that's not the God of the Bible. Miracles are nothing strange or too hard for the Almighty God to accomplish. And again, take notice. You indict yourself based on the things that you are willing to believe, absent the wonders of God. A universe that came out of nothing takes more faith. That takes more faith. In fact, I want to have that faith in my faith. Are you feeling me? So, your life in the naturalistic world has no meaning. Began from nothing. And goes back to nothing. No. My God said, through him who is Jesus, there's eternal life. And the Redeemer was born in this way. We know it. He said it would happen. This is the fulfillment of it. And this is another reason why we believe in it. Let's also read the account, a portion of it, captured in the book of Luke, chapter 1 as well, verses 31 through 38. The book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 31 through 38. as the word of God reads, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In this account, Mary confirms that she has never known a man. So why do I say that? Because we have people out here, Christians, professing Christians, shall I say, that believe that Mary actually had children, or at least a child, prior to this. I have seen pastors preach this. And to those pastors that would preach this, they are either satanically influenced or little devils themselves. Complete devils. And you know what? My God's going to deal with you. Unless he gives me permission to deal with you first. Right? I can just hear it now. "My son." "Yes, father." "Go and chicken choke Pastor Hill that..." It's got to make you upset, though. And then how could anyone sit under those teachings? The word of God says this, and then they challenge it and convince people into thinking that this is a fabrication. We are told that the one to be born of this virgin will be called the Son of God. And that's exactly what happened. And this angel will talk to Mary about how the Son of God would have a kingdom that would have no end. And we talked about aspects of the kingdom last week. And of course, I could do a whole sermon on all this, but for now, I want us to focus on verse 37. And in verse 37, once again, the word of God reads, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." This is the mic drop statement. Should be it. We mentioned it earlier. Now we have it here in writing. This is the God of the Bible. There is nothing that God cannot do. And everything that God does is righteous. Everything. One commentator would write, "The laws of nature are not chains wherewith the supreme lawgiver has bound himself, but cords which he holds in his own hand, and which he can lengthen or shorten as his good pleasure and wisdom dictates." I will tell you that the rejection of the virgin birth is deeper than simply not believing it. It goes in concert with not believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And conversely, when you believe in the virgin birth, it will rightly lead one to believe in the resurrection. You see that? They go hand in hand and are at the core of our Christian faith. And let me be clear, it is not because of the virgin birth that we believe in Christ. It is because that Jesus Christ is the Messiah in which this virgin birth points us to. And this event has been earth-shattering, as well as his resurrection. And like I said before, there are claims that these events of the Bible are just infusions of what was told by other cultures. But take notice that none of those claims are ever set against any other doctrines. You see that? They only come and rail against the Bible. And there's a reason for that. That's because everything captured within the scriptures is affirmed by the true and living God. All of it is. And that affirmation not only came by the prophecies of God, but by the working of miracles, by those prophets and apostles via the Holy Spirit, and of course, God himself. And these events that we have not eyewitnessed does not take away the reality of them. And God continues to speak to all of us through his word today by allowing us to witness his word continue to unfold before our very eyes, while at the same time bringing the wisdom of man to nothing. So, for all of those who would say, a virgin birth, really? All of you should consider the man-made miracles that you believe in. Because if you have a hard time believing what my God of the impossible can do regarding a virgin birth, how is it that you can so easily accept the idea that men could give birth? Come talk to me. Where's Doc at? Is he here yet? Show me the diagrams. Side by side, let's sit. From a naturalistic worldview, how does this naturally happen? And what I also find so amazing is that we have world-renowned scientists, world-renowned doctors that will go on record stating that biological men can indeed get pregnant. And in their very next breath, they mock the true and living God. And do you know, oh man, that what you are doing is the very fulfilling of the word of God? Because you have hardened your hearts and rejected the truth, you have been given over to your own thoughts and imaginations. This is why you are in the state of mind that you are in. Captured in the book of Romans in chapter 1, verse 28, the word of God reads, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." This is why you believe that a man can get pregnant. You have a debased mind, a corrupted mind. And then you want to speak about the virgin birth. You are unable to comprehend the supernatural, but foolish enough to believe that which is clearly not natural. How do we get there? Debased mind. And we pray for you. I know I'm yelling at you, but we pray for you. Not just because we're supposed to. And we truly hope that your hearts would be softened by the love of God. But we also pray urgently for you because the time is short and the hour is late. And God will not strive with man forever. So when we as Christians see all of this madness taking place, our faith increases because the word of God says so. And for some who may have been doubtful, Now, because of your foolishness, oh, they become sure. And this is also the reason why we believe in a virgin birth. Now, I want to close with the Song of Mary. Because after the angel would tell her what he was commanded to speak, Mary would believe and break out in song. And I believe it is truly fitting for us to read. And as we do so, let us do so with the surety of this virgin birth by the Son who has been given for the salvation of our souls. It's captured in the book of Luke as well, chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. The Word of God reads, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever.'" Now, do our souls magnify the Lord? I pray that they do. And notice that Mary says, "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." Do you see that? And the Savior of Mary is the same Savior of us all. Mary is included in being saved, not a part of salvation. So you know what I'm getting at, right? Tell your friends. Again, regarding the birth of Jesus, there are so many prophecies. We could have gotten into all of that. But if you cannot get past the virgin birth, then what's the point? We believe because God said so and has given us his word. And this miraculous birth was a sign that points to Jesus. And it's because of Jesus that all who would believe in him would be offered the free gift of eternal life. All of this is by God's doing, because nothing is impossible with God. And that's why we believe and know that the virgin birth really happened. Why don't we stand so we can pray? Father in heaven, I want to thank you, Lord, so much for given us your word that we can just rely on without question. We know this took place, and we're so thankful that you would do this to redeem us from the evil perils that we face without you and put us in the right place with you because of the precious blood of Jesus the Christ. Father, what can we say? Thank you is not enough. So we just accept this free gift and rely on your tender mercies and grace. And may this word penetrate the hardest of hearts. Crack it down, Lord, and enter into them so they can seek you out and be saved. We love you and praise you in the mighty name of Yeshua Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen.